In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today, and I have with me Jimmy Butler. I'm thinking of the scripture from Isaiah 40, "Comfort, comfort my people." And also, "How happy upon the mountains are the feet that bring good news." Comfort my people with the good news. Comfort my people with the experience of evangelism. I tell you, evangelism is the most word that is not known by people. People think going to church is evangelism. No, evangelism happens when one person in the community takes Jesus as his Lord and Savior and gives his life to Jesus. That's evangelism. Now, that could happen in the church. I've seen it happen in our church many times. So Jimmy's going to talk about evangelism, and I'm going to be talking about the same thing. How happy on the mountains of the feet that bring good news. Do you have happy feet, Jimmy? Are your feet happy this morning?
Hallelujah. I am. Even yesterday, Sunday in service, someone asked me to pray over this woman. I said, "Wait till after church." So I went over to her and I said, "Do you know the Lord?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "When I looked at you, I saw brokenheartedness. Could I pray with you?" So I used that scripture. Jesus said, "Bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captive." So I said that prayer over her. I said, "I bind up all your brokenheartedness right now. And I break off all the rejection, disappointment, and hurt into your life." And she started getting healed. She was crying like a baby. The Lord started healing her just by the spoken word and by using love. And I held her in my arms and just loved her and told her about the Lord. And I wanted to share with you a little bit about my conversion. I was first told by a track. Someone gave me a track on the beach. And I sort of said, what are they giving it to me for? I don't need this thing. And that was the beginning. That was a seed that was planted in my life. And I went home. And then a friend came to my house and told me about the Lord. And next thing you know, I'm in my apartment and I'm crying like a baby. And Jesus had come into my life. And Father, I remember walking to Wollaston Beach in the middle of summer while all the young guys were out there partying. And he had a great influence. He even shared with my little brother. And my brother remembers it to this day. And he prayed for a motorcycle to start, and it started. So it was a really powerful day. Every Christian is meant to witness. You know, not everyone is evangelist. There is such thing as an office of evangelism. But we're all called to be witnesses. You know, when I first met the Lord, I over-evangelized in my house. I just was so excited about Jesus, I drove them all crazy. And even my friends. And the Lord showed me that I just, my excitement and my enthusiasm of falling in love with Jesus was so great that it was too much for them to handle. So I had to slow down with them and express love and be kind to them and be good to them and my family and back off a little bit. But they all still know I'm a believer, and I never compromised my beliefs. So that's what the Lord has taught me over the years, how to handle the evangelistic call. Sometimes I'll take someone out for coffee and love on them and then witness to them afterwards when they're comfortable with me. But if you want a full-time ministry, you go right out to Walmart. You can there's a ministry out there every day. Every day you can have a full-time ministry if you're looking for ministry. So you have to, people ask what their ministry is. Go to Walmart. Go out there all afternoon. You have a whole slew of people. One time I went out to Walmart and I shared with one person, and the presence of God came in. There was like 7 to 8, 10 people started coming around me. And they said, "We don't want to leave." They were touched by the Lord. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit came and started ministering to them personally by himself. And also, you know, the Bible says he gives us a word like a pen of a learned word, a learner. And we have words in our spirits that will can change somebody's life. One word can change somebody's life kind of under the Spirit of God.
One word spoken in the Lord can change somebody's life. I'll never forget the time when I pointed at a prayer meeting and I said, Jesus loves you. And the power of God came upon a woman named Betty Foley. And she said to me the week later, what was in your finger? I said, my finger, why? She said, you pointed at me and you said, Jesus loves you. And I felt this power going through me. I said, that was the Holy Spirit. She gave her life to Jesus. You see, evangelism has to do with knowing God. Not knowing about Him, but knowing Him. Knowing Him personally. Bringing people to the foot of the cross. When people tell me about their drug addict son or their alcoholic daughter, my prayer is, Jesus, bring them to the foot of the cross where they're going to be healed, where they're going to admit that they have a problem. This is the holiday season, the holy day. You know, holiday comes from the word holy day. This is the holy day season. And how many people have been drinking? Drinking, you know, to forget. I drink, but I don't drink every day. I don't drink every week. So I can take a glass of wine if I want to, because I'm not using it as a crutch. But how many people now, during this holy season, have been trying to end their hurt by drinking? You don't end your hurt by drinking. You just have to wake up with a big head, plus deal with your hurt. Oh, how happy on the mountains are the feet of those that bring good news. You know what I do when I get shoes? I bless my shoes. Because you know why? I pray, God, that these shoes will only go where You lead them, to no place else but to where You lead them. I don't want to go places where You don't lead. Shoes, be blessed in the name of Jesus. How happy upon the mountains are the feet that bring good news. Tell us another experience of people knowing Jesus and experiencing real evangelism.
Do you know, there was a situation where I was stuck in a rooming house because of my income, and I had some physical problems, and I had to stay at this room house I didn't really care about. But I had to stay there, and it was actually God leading me there. I didn't even know it. And I ended up seeing people that were really messed up, and they were running the hallways at night doing drugs. And I was nice to them, and just really kind to them, and I stayed away when I needed to. But one girl came up to me and says, Jimmy, I'm a mess. I just came out of detox, and she's drugging again, and she's drugging again. I said, you need Jesus. So one of the roommates in the building lived next door to her, and I guess all night long she was arguing with her husband, saying, Jimmy says I need Jesus. And he goes, no, you don't. He says, yes, I do. And it was a day and a half later she had passed away. And I was so glad that I had shared the gospel with her. That's an extreme case. I know that. You know, it's like, if you don't tell someone about Jesus, they're going to die. That's not always the case. But I knew in my heart I was supposed to tell her about Jesus right away. And another case had the same thing happen. Another time I was just walking through a mall, and I said, God bless you two, kid. And he came back and he says, would you ask Jesus, would you come and pray with me and let Jesus come into my heart? My parents have been trying to tell me about Jesus. I'm not listening to them. So I sat in the bench, young kid. It was so beautiful. He had such an open spirit. He was gentle, good kid. And he invited Jesus in his heart. And I said to him, get back to your local church now. You know, we catch the fish. You know, Jesus said, disciples are fishermen of men. So you have to catch the fish, but the fish have to be cleaned up. And that's why you need to stay involved in the church. And you need to stay around loving people. And get what is ever in your spirit out of it, whatever junk's around you, out of you, by love and by care and by confession. And you need to get cleaned up. We all need to get cleaned up. I'm still being cleaned up. 30 years later after I've known Jesus.
A woman called me yesterday, and she thanked me. I didn't know what she was thanking me for. She said, "You have no idea what you've done for my family. You have no idea." She says, "I am dying with cancer. I'm in the last stages. But you know what? God's calling me now. And that's okay. But I want you to know that you have no idea of what you've done to my family. How you have graced them. How you have blessed them. How you have led them to Jesus." I was not having the best day yesterday. But then I hear this, "You have no idea." And that's real. That's real. I hear from my friend Connie. And Connie and her friend Stephen died. And she is needed of the ointment of God because she has cancer. So Lord Jesus, heal Connie. Deliver her from this cancer. This is a freedom from cancer place. Deliver Connie from cancer by the power of the cross, by the power of the blood. Deliver, deliver, deliver. How many people when I was in Quincy did I lead to the Lord Jesus Christ? So many people. Yes, we walked the beach and we prayed with people. And they would come to the rectory because they needed jobs. And God would always get them jobs. It's very interesting how God works through people. But you've got to know Him. Not only know about Him, you've got to know Jesus.
I go up and down the East Coast, and one time, I mean, I just hit bus stops. I hit different places all along. You know, what I'm doing, most of the ministry for me is one-on-one. And it's usually outside the church, you know. God has been good, and He has opened up churches. There was a congregational church that didn't even believe in the gifts of the Spirit. So I shared a couple of things with the pastor that the Lord told me about him. And he knew it was true, and so he opened up his community for 3 days. So I ended up ministering in a congregational church that didn't even believe in the gifts of the Spirit for 3 days. Another story was I'm down in a bus stop in Florida, and I'm ministering to this girl was coming by me over and over again, and she needed some money, and there was a little bit of tug in my heart to help her, and I just didn't want to deal with it. I was very honest. I didn't want to deal with it. So I dealt with it. I started helping her, and there was a couple more guys started coming around. Well, meanwhile, there's a guy driving by on the expressway, drives by, and this comes all the way back, and he says to me, "What can I do for you? You're really helping these street people." And he goes, "I want to do something for you. We want to get you lunch." I said, "I'm getting on the next bus." So he goes, "Can I take care of the bus for you? Because if you're not, I won't be able to have lunch with you, but I can take care of the bus for you." And he helped me keep going. You know, that man would help me keep going in the ministry. And I appreciate him very much. But, you know, I use the gifts of the Spirit. I try to use love. I try to use sensitivity and the Word of God together to help people. I don't try to use any formula. I be myself, be transparent, and let the Lord give me the words to witness to somebody. I don't use a set of rules. But I do make sure it gets in their heart. I try to make sure. Sometimes they're not open, so I just can plant the seed. They don't want to receive Jesus. You know, I went to my little brother's house the other day. He had a baby, and I know that my family needs to receive him into their heart. I know that. And all I could do was love on him. And when they weren't looking, I prayed over the baby.
I think of the many people that I've led to Jesus. I remember my aunt. She said to me, "I want what you have." I said, "Well, you can have it today." And we asked Jesus to come into her heart. And she got involved with a Catholic prayer group. And she started praying for the sick. That's my Aunt Alda. Then my Aunt May, I'll never forget Aunt May. She had taken a nervous breakdown and came to my house. and her husband didn't know what to do with her. She was completely out of it. So I took her in my room, and she asked Jesus to come into her heart. And I'm going to tell you, she got involved with the same prayer group that my aunt got involved with, and she became a great prayer warrior. I'm telling you, God knows how to do things. How many people who listen to me write me letters that saying, you spoke to me just the questions that I needed to be answered. Somebody called me Bill Fullerton the other night. He says, Father Tom, it's uncanny. You spoke all the things that I needed to hear. I was asking these questions, and you answered them. And little do you know what I needed, but God knew what I needed. See, this is God working in people, to people, and through people, and with people. How happy upon the mountains are the feet that bring good news. And the good news is the good news of Jesus, that he was born for us, born to die on a cross for you and for me. He was buried and raised from the dead on the third day. How wonderful it is to share the good news to people. Because that's the way it is. You know, some people want to share news, but they water it down. They water it down like my mother's lemonade. They water it down. And people don't get the real thing. You know why? Because it's all watered down. You know, well, you can have Jesus. He's your friend. There's more than that. You've got to accept him into your heart. You've got to give your life to him. Well, he might do bad things if I give my life to him. No, as a matter of fact, he'll do some great things. He'll answer your prayers, and you'll see him working, because Jesus is all about working. Buddha was sitting down, but Jesus is constantly moving around. And still now, in his resurrected body, by the Holy Spirit, he touches people. He blesses people. He heals people. I'll never forget Jean when she came to me so many years ago with cancer, the end stages. The doctor said, only 3 months to live. Make your will out. Well, you know what? That's 10 years ago. She was completely healed by the power of God. Oh, yes. That's God doing it. I can't heal people. I have a cold today. So I've started to take vitamin C, because I need to tank up on vitamin C, or else this cold will get the best of me. How happy are the feet upon the mountains that bring good news? Do you have happy feet? Jimmy, do you have happy feet?
Yes, I do. I thank the Lord for my life. My life is an absolute miracle. God kept loving me and loving me and loving me. And this year I'm looking forward to my biggest desire this year is to touch more people than I've ever touched, to leave a bigger impact than I have in my whole life. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the Lord shall be saved. The whosoever calls upon the Lord shall be saved. It's the biggest miracle in a man or woman's life. Healing is important. Going to church is important. But receiving Jesus Christ into your heart is the biggest miracle you ever get. And to know him, and then start growing and growing and growing and growing. It's also only the beginning. Salvation is just your beginning of your journey. And I thank the Lord for coming into my heart at 21 years old. I wept like a baby. I was a hard-hearted man. And God gave me a heart of flesh. And at times the enemy tries to come in and get me back to that hard-heartedness. But the Lord, in his grace, keeps coming and softening and softening and softening. He has, you know, different assignments I get that I don't always want. And, but the Lord says, do it. And usually there's a promotion after I'm obedient. I was down in Carolinas. They were setting up for a meeting. And I got off the bus, and there was a guy there that needed to be ministered to. And I almost said no, but the Lord says, minister to him. And then I went to the conference, and the conference was being set up for a year. They turned the whole conference over to me because the Spirit of God came. And it was, I know it was because I ministered to that one guy at the bus. God honored that and respected that. Because God is in the whole business about people. People. And one person in the family that comes to know the Lord, the Bible says, household salvation will come. If one person will stand in faith He will break the cycle that the family has lived in.
The Lord in Psalm 95 says, 40 years I endured that generation. There are people whose hearts go astray, and they know not my ways. 40 years. Have you waited 40 years, 30 years to give your life to Jesus? Have you waited 20 years to give your life to Jesus? Today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. It's the day of salvation. It all started at baptism. When I was baptized as a baby, 40 days old, the life of God was put in me. But then when I got older, I wanted Him. I wanted that life of baptism. I wanted Him. And I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget it. The Lord ministered to me only in the way that I needed to Him to minister to me. And from then I started preaching. I preached way before I was a priest. I preached in year 70, 71, 72, 73, 74. I went into the seminary. I preached there too. One of my teachers said, Father Tom, he didn't call me Father Tom. He would say, Tom not only loves God, but God speaks to him. But that's for everybody. God speaks to us in the quiet of our hearts. We have to be quiet to hear the Word of God. Oh yes, there's so much He wants to give us so that we can give it to other people. It's all about people. God so loved the world, people, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him may not perish but have eternal life. God did not send the Son to condemn you or to condemn the sons of God, but that you might be healed, that you might be saved, that you might be totally given over to Jesus. He did not send the Son to condemn us, but to make us grow in grace. Tell us a little bit about grace, Jimmy.
The grace of God, you know, there was a time when I really walked with the Lord in a very, very powerful way. And then I had a falling out with my wife. I had an accident. I had some things really happen to me. And I just started rebelling. I mean, I call it rebelling because I would hear the voice of God and I would do the opposite. And this was a long period of time, First of all, the grace of God saved me because I was really acting up, a very restless kid, and I did not go to church. It was the Lord was reaching out to me. He reached out to people to get a hold of me. And then also after I've known the love of God, I came to know the love of God. I went through a rebellious period, and I ended up in a car accident. That wasn't because of my sin or anything, but I had a car accident, and I just so much hurt in my life. And the old man started trying to rise its head up again. I called the old man the way I used to live before. And it started rising up, and I would rebel. I knew the difference about walking with God and not walking with God, and doing what was pleasing in His sight and what was displeasing. He loves us all, but I was displeasing Him. I wasn't doing what a father would want the son to do. So the grace of God just kept pulling me back, forgiving me, showing me His loving kindness, showing my loving kindness. Finally, there was a resurrender and a new commitment to the Lord. And I had realized that, you know, what he still had for my life was still in front of me. There was different hurts and stuff like that. I had to go back and reconcile with some different people. Some people received the forgiveness from me. Some people received the reconciled some relationship. Some were still tainted. I'm still praying and believing. But the grace of God stayed on my life to enable me today to keep preaching the Word. There was a time during my accident, there was a physical death attacking me, as well as I wanted to die. Even Jesus gave me the will to live back. That was all by His grace. And I would say today I'm walking in a love that I've never walked in. And it's all by His grace. And I spend a lot of time with Him because I want to get filled up. When I want to go out, I want to make sure I'm bringing something to people. Many people that don't even know the Lord, who I'm very close to and I find favor with, and I know it's the Lord. They see something on me, but they don't know it's the Lord. So it's my opportunity to share with them when I make that connection. I say, okay, here's another one. As soon as I get off the bus, I'm right there in front of somebody. So I thank God for that grace that's on my life and love on my life, but I don't take advantage of that grace no longer because I have a fear of God and respect for God.
People say Catholics believe they're saved by their works. No, we are saved by grace. Grace which produces faith and produces the works that we are to be walking into. Grace, it's all about grace. And that grace flows from the cross of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That grace continues to flow from the cross of Jesus Christ. How we need that grace. How we need that God would pour out upon us that grace, the great gift of the Holy Spirit. How we need that. Not, it's not something extra. It is something essential that we need today. You are in need of the grace of God today. You cannot stop drinking unless the grace of God comes upon you. And you need to ask the Lord, Lord, give me that grace that I would be able to be a normal person. Give me that grace that gives me the grace to stop drinking, that brings me to the cross of Jesus Christ. Pray with me, Lord Jesus. I need your grace. Lord Jesus, come and dwell in my heart by grace. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. May Jesus Christ be praised in you as we enter a new year for his glory. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.